This is Capital Insider, an insider's guide to Oklahoma politics and policy. I'm Dick Pryor with eCapital News Director Sean Ashley. Sean, it didn't take long for the new tobacco cessation fee passed in the final days of the legislative session to get a legal challenge.
That's correct. A couple of tobacco manufacturers, as well as some local distributors, retailers, and some individuals filed suit challenging the constitutionality of the bill. They point out that the primary purpose of the bill is to raise revenue, and therefore, rather than being a fee, that makes it a tax, and that it violates some of the three provisions necessary for a revenue-raising measure to be constitutional, that being that it must originate in the House, it cannot be passed the last 5 days, and it requires a three-quarters vote of the legislature in order to be approved. They argue that this bill did none of those things.
Why is the fee versus tax distinction important?
The court ruled some time ago that the way to distinguish a tax from a fee is the purpose of the revenue that it generates. If the purpose of that revenue is for more or less general government operations, it then qualifies to be a tax. If the money is sort of incidental to receiving a service or helps pay for that service, then its labeling as a fee is important. What this lawsuit points out numerous times throughout it is that the purpose of this bill was to raise money for general government operations, and therefore it qualifies as a fee and should be found unconstitutional.
The suit itself makes for interesting reading.
It certainly does. For one thing, it picks apart every aspect of Senate Bill 845, the bill that implemented the tobacco cessation fee. Secondly, it addresses many of the things you and I have talked about here. In fact, I would say there are probably some quotes from legislators that you and I have cited in our discussions here and talking about that legislation. And then finally, it is a terrific lesson in government finance. It tells you how the process is supposed to work, what the court has looked at in the past, and then as far as the plaintiffs are concerned, what should be done about this particular piece of legislation.
And the state attorney general will defend it on behalf of the state.
That's correct.
Governor Fallon has finished signing and vetoing. Did anything stand out?
It was a rather quiet year in the grand scheme of things, with the budget being at the forefront of all the discussions in the end. I think one of the more interesting things that happened in terms of the governor's action were three bills she vetoed related to administrative rules. We don't talk much about administrative rules because it's really off in the weeds and many would say quite boring. But it is through administrative rules that the various agency boards and commissions implement the laws that the legislature passes and that the governor signs. Several years ago, that process was amended in terms of the way the legislature reviews those rules for approval, and that process hasn't worked at all. As a result, they've been looking at trying to modify it again and make it work. The proposals they came up this year did not meet the governor's approval, and she vetoed those three bills. Those three were 17 of the bills which she vetoed this year, which is about average for her. In the end, she signed 393 measures, again, fairly close to average. So in the end, it was a pretty average year.
Another member of the state legislature is leaving. State Senator Dan Newberry has announced he will resign next January.
That's right. Senator Newberry is taking a promotion at the credit union where he works, and it appears the time that will be necessary for that job will prevent him from being a legislator. This creates the seventh vacancy this year, so that spot will be filled with a special election. He will remain in office until the end of January. More than likely, the election will take place while he's still in office, and he has promised to be helpful to whoever's elected to fill that spot.
All right, that's eCapital News Director Sean Ashley, and that's Capital Insider for this week. You can hear us on KGOU.org and on iTunes. Until next time, with Sean Ashley, I'm Dick Pryor.